Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Scrum Down NBC Sports Rugby Podcast. I am your host with the most, Alex Cubicera, and it is great to be back, everyone. First podcast sort of since the Six Nations has now finished on NBC Sports here in America. We turn our attention back to Premiership Rugby, which had another barn-burning weekend. So much going on there. And I think, you know, today's guest is Chinyamunga, who is, you know, a breakout star at London Irish, developed through the academy, been in the wider England training squads, just reached his 50th cap for London Irish on the weekend at a very young age as well. So we've got him on to chat through London Irish, you know, his journey, the season, some of the bigger news stories, and also the run into the playoffs. And you look at London Irish, like, let's just talk about them quickly. Like, what a win on the weekend. St. Patrick's Day game, bouncing back after losing the Prem Cup final and extra time. And they were on sensational form. You know, if anything, the score could have been so much higher when you look at some of the missed opportunities they had. And you really do have to credit Saints for staying in that game and taking two tries when, you know, the game was going completely the other way that kept it reasonably close. But I think our Irish flex and muscle and showed how impressive they were, especially when you look at the physicality and some of that Saints pack and that team and the way that they were able to play. Wow. And I think someone who is, you know, banging the door down for Borthwick and England is Tom Pearson. What a performance. Just incredible involvements on both sides of the ball, turnovers at the breakdown, line breaks, carries, offloads, tries, sort of the X factor and dynamism that, you know, we all know that he could potentially add to that England team. And I think that game, especially opposite Lewis Ludlam, gave him an opportunity to really show, you know, what he's capable of. And I'd be shocked if he doesn't make it into these World Cup squads. I think, you know, obviously, you know, England will hope to have guys like Curry, you know, Courtney Laws back to full strength in the summer. But I think Tom Pearson deserves a shout in there. Another guy who I thought had an amazing weekend, Billy Vunipola, player of the match in Sarri's win. Two guys that I've been banging the door on would add a lot to that England team. And I think they're showing it in the Premiership. Sarri's capping off a big win in front of a huge crowd at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Really impressive achievements from the Premiership sides being able to sell that many tickets and create that bigger gate in the Premiership. Quite impressive. You know, the London Irish St. Patrick's Day looked busy too. You know, multiple games going on. Quinn's had a game at Twickenham not long ago. You know, it is very exciting for the league that they're able to sort of find these big games and sell them out and create those sort of matchups. It makes a stronger case for me when we talk about long-term sustainability of having less games and making these games bigger things out of international windows, selling big crowds, generating revenue. It all seems to coincide with where the game needs to develop. And I just thought it was an exciting sort of weekend. I think the playoff run-in for the Premiership is going to go down to the wire. I think huge win for Irish, getting those points over Saints. Fantastic achievement when they now have two games left, which is, you know, a tough road for them with Sarri's away and then Exeter at home, where they could control their destiny. The only teams that could catch them, I think, are Exeter and Saints. So what an achievement for London Irish it would be to qualify if they were able to pull it off. Obviously, Saracens flying high at the moment and sort of ahead of the rest of the pack, with Sale Sharks and Leicester just behind. But I think that's kind of my intro done. Now it's time to get to our interview. As I said, London Irish's Chinyamunga. And we are joined by London Irish star Chinyamunga, mate. Welcome to the pod. And first of all, congrats on 50 appearances for London Irish, which you achieved this weekend, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah, it's going quite well at the moment. As you said, I got my obviously appearance on the weekend, 50 caps, and it was something that I've been very excited to try and achieve. One of the goals I set myself out when we started the season, because I thought it was something I could very much do by the end of the year. So yeah, good, and probably even better that we did it on a Paddy's Day win. So it doesn't really get much better, I think, in terms of what it was, the win was for the team.
It wasn't just a Paddy's Day win, mate. It was an impressive performance from the Irish, and at St. Patrick's Day, coming off a bounce back off a tough loss in the Premiership Cup final. But you know what a statement from you guys as a team, and what a position it potentially puts you in as this run-in really closes down into the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. I think the first thing we kind of spoke about, especially after that game, was, you know, like, that's a real performance we can be proud of. I think we've had some probably performances in the past where we've had these tough games and we've put in good performances, and I think we do play an exciting, expansive brand of rugby. But for some reason on that day, you never know what it is in sport, like it just clicked. It really, really clicked really well. And I think, you know, not against a slouch of an opposition in Northampton, but no, it was just a great day. And I think, yeah, for the club moving forward, it was a real confidence boost, especially like you said, after the tough loss we had last weekend, the weekend before in the cup final. But no, it's just good to have the stadium back bouncing again, and everyone was involved. It's just a great day, I think, for the club, yeah.
And before we kind of crack on with a bit of chat about the Prem and the playoff situation at Irish, let's just touch a tiny bit on that Prem Cup and the journey, because, you know, this has been something for London Irish, been a real strength over these last couple of years, is the developing talent through the pipeline, you know, backed up by a final performance last year, heartbreakingly lost in extra time, and then basically a repeat of that this year. You know, some real positives there, but how heartbreaking was that for a squad as well?
Yeah, I think for us, it's very tough to take. I think from speaking from my own personal experience, having played in this final recently and the final last year, when we hit that extra time barrier again, it wasn't like, I never felt like we were going to lose. I always had the confidence we could win that game, but it was like, oh, like deja vu. And it just, again, down to the wire. I think that while last year we lost on sort of the rules of the tournament and it was a draw, but we lost on the try score. Then this year we lose by 4 points. And yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But then I think on the flip side of that, like you said, it's a competition that allows for a lot of guys to come in and show maybe what they can do at the senior level for your club. So I think there's no doubt we're probably in this conversation talk about the likes of, like, you know, the Tom Pearsons, Henry Arundels, you know, of the world at the moment, even Bill Ollie Hassel as well, and guys have had that opportunity to play in these cup competitions. Like, I remember TP, Tom Pearson, playing last year, and he sort of tore Saris apart, and then it was always like, okay, raised a few eyebrows, and then obviously from now, the success that someone like he's had. So it's a great competition to put yourself out and represent the club. But it's a shame, obviously, we didn't get the job done.
And you know, it is heartbreaking, but just before we close that chapter, and it's a good way to segue, it really does show the transformation of the London Irish Academy, you know, over maybe this last 5, 6, 7 years, something you've been, you know, witnessed firsthand and been a part of sort of since, you know, your early days as a 14, 15-year-old, you know, coming to London Irish. Just talk a little bit about the work like Pog and Fish have done over these years, and Lights and people like that, to help bring through this next crop of talent, which seems to be really heavily populating the first team sort of sphere now, and puts you guys in a really strong position.
Yeah, I guess looking back on it from when I first started, you kind of start when you're about 14-ish. And like you say, I've had people like Pog and Lights from the start of when I got here at that journey, I'm a 14-year-old boy, sort of in the massive scale of, I don't know, 400 or 500 lads, and they're all the different sites, and they've kind of raised us through this academy journey. Those guys, so for instance, Lights and the Pog have coached me the longest, and then when you got to sort of the 17, 18-year-old level, Fish then sort of came on board and started taking more of a reins. But now we've transitioned to sort of the senior academy, and then some of us getting into senior team. We still work very closely with those guys. Lights obviously takes more care of both the outside and inside backs. And then Fish obviously does a lot of work with us as forwards, kind of just getting to learn and understand the game. But it's a long time for me personally, having been at the club in some capacity since about 14. And now sort of fast forward all these years on, it's cool to be able to then get to run out for the senior side, especially, you know, having those same coaches now. They're up in the stands with, you know, the DOR and the head coach, and they still come down at halftime, give you tips and here and there. And it's, you know, from 16, 17, when you're playing in the wind and the rain at Hazelwood, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to beat Saints on Paddy's Day, and it's good that those guys have done it with you. It's quite cool.
No, and let's take it back to the now. And, you know, we touched on the Paddy's Day win, but, you know, what a position London Irish are in. And when you consider, like you touched on earlier a little bit, some of the, you know, close losses that you took earlier in the season, you know, how much do you think back that goes, imagine if we'd won just one or two of those, you'd pretty much be guaranteed qualified by now. You've still got a reasonably treacherous road, you know, with Saris and Exeter to go in your last couple games. You know, what are your thoughts on the season? And then also, what are your thoughts on the opportunity it would be to sort of actually go out there and get the qualification sealed in?
Well, I think so. First of all, on the first point you had, I think now actually we've tended to probably not look back, I think, on the games that we might, you know, here there might have. I think Dick spoke really well after the game, Dick Kidney, and kind of just said, look, there's going to be people talking now, and, you know, people obviously wanted to have questions and understand what's going on here because we're having a good run of form. But one thing I think we've done really well this season, from my own personal opinion, is taken sort of each week and a performance as it comes. So we've had games where we've narrowly lost, or we've actually then won really convincingly, but it's all about the performance. I mean, thinking back, we had a game probably the start of the season where the performance wasn't as good as we might have wanted, but we actually got the win, and there was still that air of frustration. So for us, it's been very much about, you know, what do our processes look like? I feel that this season has been very much about our own individual improvement continuing, and then how that works when you become a cog in part of the team. And I think it's very much about the week to week. So we've obviously got a bit of a break now, and with the bye weeks and these sort of European competitions we're not involved in, but we'll just be kind of looking, I think, how to improve the micro parts of our game.
And when you look at London Irish and your season and how you have developed as a team, what are some of like the key areas you think that have really come on? Obviously, we know you like to score tries, but you know, just a bit more sort of insight into London Irish's season and what you boys have been sort of working on.
I think, yeah, from sort of the way we play the game, we like to play fast and expansive, and we like to sort of, you know, well, we like to play with the ball. And I think this season is funny because it sounds like, oh, you know, this season we've just clicked. It's not been the case. It's been probably 3-4 years of us really trying to find when we're at our best. So I wouldn't just say, you know, we've sort of turned up and this year and the preseason was massively different. But we've made some few tweaks. I think the coaches have made really good adjustments in terms of how they feel we can strengthen the game further. But I think we're still very much based on the identity of how we want to play and just continue to improve little bits and little bits and little bits sort of week on week. And now we're in a position where we can say, you know, we're competing at the top, but actually it's about us just trying to continually improve.
And with these last two big games, you know, ahead, like what is the vibe of the club? Is the belief high? You know, obviously Saris away, a tough game, but then, you know, maybe some revenge against Exeter with the Prem Cup sort of still in memory a little bit. You know, how do you feel about your last two running and compare it with maybe a Saints or an Exeter, who are probably your real competition for that fourth place spot?
Yeah, I think probably looking at these last few games, sort of in the same way we have the rest of the season, I think we'll go into it looking at parts of the game I think that we can do well against the opposition that we have, sort of week by week. And then I think going into that Saturday's game, I think we'll, again, just look at it and think, how can we exploit the weaknesses we perceive they might have, and how can we build on our strengths to try and beat them? We obviously had them first time in the season at home at Brentford, and we had like a great win on, I want to say, even Christmas Eve. And that was, I think, for us, a real morale booster. I remember Bernard Jensen van Rensburg, one of our centres, kind of at the end of that game said, lads, you know, that team is unbeaten so far in the league, or they might have been, or they have like a run of games which were really good, and we were the first team that they'd suffered a defeat to in a long time. And he kind of said, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but this is what we can produce. We're a good team. Let's just keep plugging away. So the back end of the season's very exciting, but again, yeah, I don't think anybody wants to try and probably get too far ahead of ourselves. We still have two very massive games coming up.
And this running in the Premiership has just been like wildly close. I think for a long time, you know, not sure, you know, which way the sort of the chips were going to fall in this race to the playoffs. And, you know, Irish maybe at like the halfway point, you know, before the New Year's, I had Tom Pearson on, you know, the sort of the vibe was, you know, not, you know, obviously frustrated to have lost, you know, a few tough games in a row, but they're still just that sort of, you know, saving grace of how tight it was. And, you know, how perfect would it be for you guys to hit form now and have a strong run into the playoffs? Because I believe, I don't want to misquote, but I believe this is the last time since 2009 Irish, you know, would have made the playoffs. I'm pretty sure that's when I played and we got to the final. Had to go on the road in the playoffs. But, you know, I think with the way you guys are playing, it wouldn't be the end of the world for London Irish to have to go on the road in this playoffs if you guys can just get to that final four.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think probably when you spoke to Pearson, probably in that December period, I remember we'd had like New Year's Eve, we lost to Gloucester, last kick of the game by 2 points, and then we'd had a tough loss away to Leicester. It was very tight. So now sort of fast forwarding to that, and we're in this position where it is quite an exciting, yeah, it's an exciting feeling, I think. And like you say, it would be awesome for the club. I think for the work that a lot of people have put in, it would be not just to get there, I think to put in a performance to be proud of. And obviously, you know, you'd love to come away with results. I just think it would be such a great way for us to sort of cap off a really good season. But again, it's kind of like the week by week and how we can get better. But I think, like you say, it's been a long time coming, I think, for a club. Our club, London Irish, and I think we've been performing quite well recently. And, you know, for me, I just look at it and think, long may that continue.
No, definitely. And I think it should probably continue when you look at the amount of youth and talent coming through that squad that's, you know, developed, especially in the home system. When you look at Irish's performances this season, and then you see guys like Tom Pearson, you know, we touched on it briefly, you know, putting their hand up at the moment. Henry Arundel, you know, his quality has been shown on the England level this season. Hassel Collins getting the recognition that maybe some felt he might have deserved for a few seasons. Like, how good is it to see sort of so many of your teammates like banging on the door and making a splash in the Premiership?
Yeah, it's very exciting, I think. Like, especially because for me and my position anyway, we're all like of a similar age. So it's kind of like cool that, you know, it's good that it's kind of like your age mates. I mean, TP joined us last year from Cardiff Met and has kind of exploded out of nowhere. And it's not through any sort of accident. He works very hard. And the same with Henry, obviously. Henry had a tough injury, which then many kind of went into the lab and focused on sort of the strength and conditioning sides of his game. And now you're seeing the rewards being reaped. And again, Ollie Hassel, somebody who, when I joined the ACAD, was, you know, 2 years older than me. And so it's very cool that they're the guys that are very similar age to you. So, you know, sometimes when you hear of, you know, England internationals and internationals elsewhere, they seem like distant players because, you know, we haven't had so many of them. But now, you know, we've got guys that are starting for England and then, you know, next week they're back in at the club. But also the performances I think these guys are putting in is not only great for them personally, but I think for the buzz it creates and the excitement it creates around us as a club and a team, you know, it makes people want to come and watch us. And I think, rightfully so, and not only are their performances being, you know, given the recognition they deserve, but I think as a club there's a lot of people's work that goes in, and it's great to just have people come in and watch us play and have fans in the stadium. That was great.
And surely someone like Tom Pearson has got to be in the mix for England soon. You'd like to see, like, we had him on, you know, before the Six Nations, thinking he was going to definitely be included in that squad. I think he's just continued to keep his head down and put in, like, barnstorming performances. Just to touch a little bit on him and maybe what the belief in the club is of what where he should be this season or maybe in the summer.
Well, I don't know too much about international rugby as a player or coach, but I guess look, TP is he's having another great season. He's doing things I think that some of us look at, and even on the game on the weekend, like scored a try, and even watching that from the bench, we were all just like, what is this kid on? Like, he's on something else, something different. And I think a lot of the time he goes about his business very quietly. He's just one of the boys, you know. He's not a superstar in that regard. He doesn't hold himself too seriously. But at the same time, when he turns up on Saturday, and he has done occasion for us, turned up in big performances, I think, when we needed him. And you know, yeah, I think it's not something that I, you know too much about or what the guys looking at him will think, but if he keeps playing the way he is for London Irish anyway, it's great to have him around. And I think, you know, if he's not around and he does get a call up to England, even better. But for now, he's just playing normally for us.
Fair, mate. You're going to be a great politician when you're older as well. You got this down. Nah, but I'll say it, lads. Like, he's been outstanding. I think he's got X Factor that England are missing right now. He's kind of like England's version of Caelan Doris. For me, that sort of all-rounder back row that gives you carries, work rate, good involvements everywhere, pace to change the game, and loves a line break as well. I'll get you off the spot there and move on. And I think what's so promising for London Irish is guys like Tom Pearson committing their future to the club, and then guys like yourself committing their future to the club. Like, how much does that, you know, strengthen the belief in the squad, but also sort of maybe your ownership and feel as part of this team, knowing that, you know, you feel comfortable committing your long-term future there? Because sadly, London Irish in previous sort of cycles have really struggled to retain a lot of their talented youngsters as they've gone on to sort of shine in the Premiership.
Yeah, I think it's almost kind of laughable looking back through history now when you put together like an ex London Irish 15 of players even playing now, and it's a ridiculous team. But I think it's very good that now the lads are, you know, we're being held on to and we're staying. I mean, for me personally, I really enjoyed my time here so far, and I didn't want that to end. And I'm grateful that the club have given me the opportunity to stay and extend. But I think that's even better when, again, like I say, your age mates, who are not only your age mates but also performing very well at Premiership level and the top level, then decide to make the same decision. So it fills you with a lot of confidence going forward. It's like, you know, if I'm going to stay and develop here and hopefully continue to grow as a player, how good to be doing it. Not only my mates, but people that are also performing, you know, at excellent level. We want to play for England. We want to go further than that even. And so, yeah, it's an exciting time for the club in that regard, just to have the guys here and everybody wanting to kind of knuckle down and get their work done, yeah.
Quickly, just seeing all the news today sort of announced Ollie Hassel-Collins is moving to Leicester Tigers. He's probably, you know, the exception to the rule now, more of maybe some of the guys who've been there a long time, developed there, moving on. You know, just touch on that and what the thoughts and the vibes of the squad are there.
Well, I mean, sort of first and foremost, not only is like a player, as a person, Ollie is he's a great guy, so it is a shame that loss is a big shame, not only just as like a player, as a person. I think anybody who you ask about Ollie, he's a good person, like he's a great guy. There would be nobody in the squad that, you know, wouldn't find Ollie approachable and easy to get along with. So it's a shame on that regard. And I think, look, for him, it's obviously it's a decision he's decided to make. And I sort of personally, I wish him well in that decision. And he will be a massive loss for us because, I mean, at what he's done the last few years, he's been like out of his world on occasion. I mean, I remember watching games where we kind of need a spark, and then all of a sudden this guy gets the ball and he just 40 meters makes a line break. We get a try back quickly, and it's all of a sudden like, all right, game on. And Ollie was sort of a real start point for us a lot of the times we found ourselves in trouble in games, and he's just a great player. But no, it's a shame to see him leave. But yeah, personally for me anyway, I wish him all the best in whatever he does next, because he's a great player and I think he's only just going to keep getting better and better, really.
No, I agree. And I think it's a testament to sort of the work he's done himself at London Irish to actually see him develop over years. Sometimes people at 21, 22 just burst onto the scene in international rugby, where I felt like he's one of these guys that's chipped away, constantly improved, you know, had so many, incredible moments consistently in the Premiership over years and has now been recognised international honours. It's obviously a shame he's gone to Leicester, but yeah, I agree. I think you boys, if maybe the club had been in the position that it's in now, it might have been a harder decision at the time, or maybe knowing, you know, that all the changes at Leicester that were imminent as well. It's not the sort of easiest scenario to see someone like him leave when the club's doing so well as well.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very, very tough. But I think, look, it's a credit probably to the work that Ollie has done, and credit to the people that have helped him develop. I think to get recognised not only probably, you know, internally for what he does and the work that he does here, because we all know the quality of him, but I think now to be on the international stage and then for the rest of the Premiership to look at this guy and go, you know, he's a serious player. You know, it's a shame that he's no longer with us and he will obviously be missed massively. But again, I just think he's going to continue to get better and better. And for the guys that have helped him, you know, James Lyford Brown, Dec Danaher. I mean, there's a great picture of Dec giving Ollie a hug after his first England cap. And, you know, he's nearly bawling his eyes out, Dec, because he's so proud of working with this guy since he was a kid. And I think, you know, yeah, he might not be in a London Irish shirt next season, but yeah, the boys will all support him as an individual because he is a great guy and we will miss him a lot. I think, yeah, as a club, we'll miss him a lot.
100%. Well, let's talk a bit about yourself and say international honours and stuff. You know, you've had a few moments over the last, what is it, 2 years maybe, or almost 2 years, where you've been into wider squads but not been able to sort of break through that next barrier in the England squad. You know, touch a little bit on you and your aspirations for international rugby.
Yeah, I think I had a great experience probably 2 years ago now. I think I was 20. I remember it was very, very surreal. I got a call in and was asked to go into a camp for a summer camp for a month. And that was like a different experience, something I'd never had before. I unfortunately came out with an injury. It was in the Eddie era. And that was like some of the stuff that I've done, I just never thought I'd physically be able to do. Just the level at which you train, the intensity was, it's different. But no, I think sort of looking forward to me now, I also think now looking back on it, I'm probably a better player than I was then, but I still think I've got a lot to work on and do. And obviously everybody loves the chance to play. I'd love to have the opportunity to play international rugby. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. And there would just be an unbelievable personal achievement to do it and then do it again. And hopefully I can get the opportunity to do that. But I think for me now it's very much about I try for me personally, it's funny, it's sort of how we work here. I try to do it week on week and try and build my performances week on week. I set myself little goals that I keep in a little hidden cabinet somewhere. But no, I just try and improve week on week and keep it very simple. I'm not a flashy player at all. You're not going to get steps and offloads out of me. I like to keep to the basics of my game. I like set piece. I like simple things, you know, the breakdown. So look, I'll try, and I think for me, try and improve in those areas. And if the opportunity comes up, I'll try and grab it with both hands, and I'd love to do it.
And it's a pretty stacked class at lock, you know, Ollie Chesson being probably the new guy who's sort of nudged his way into the pecking order. Then you still got, you know, Marrows, Courtney around, Ezekiel in the mix. Have you had any contact from Steve Borthwick or any of the England squad since they've taken over?
No, not me personally, but I think to be honest, in terms of where those guys are and the period of England, I think the way in which I'm playing some of those guys, I think it'd probably be a bit premature for me, if I was to say the truth. I'd love to have the opportunity to play, but again, it's a new start for England. It's kind of like the beginning of a new cycle, and I think looking at the way that those guys are playing now and the quality that the guys that you've mentioned, it's a very, very tough player pool, that especially being a young second row, I find myself in. So if that opportunity came up, you know, it would it would be unbelievable. But I think for now, I've still got some work to do, definitely.
No, fair enough, mate. And, you know, it's a tough ask, but I do think keep plugging away because there is, I think, potential openings there across the line. England haven't secured that sort of long-term depth there. But, you know, not everyone might know this, but I know this, is that you can also play for another country, not just England. And it's actually the United States, and you are American qualified. We'll probably let the cat out of the bag with the MLR calls coming in stat. But, you know, probably ain't going to be able to match that premiership money at the moment anyway. But, you know, you are American qualified out there as well. There's still hope for the Eagles.
Yeah, I get my qualification through my mom. My grandma as well grew up in Alabama, and so that's where my qualification comes from. It would be a kind of a weird, surreal experience playing for the US. That'll be kind of funny, I guess. A lot of my family are all there. We're the only real side of my family that live in the UK, but you know, this is a home where I've grown up. But no, I am American qualified. I need to renew my passport actually, but I'm deciding whether I want to pay the taxes or not. So.
I know it well, mate.
Being a kid anymore when you just get your passport and it's all fun and games. People come knocking and asking what money you've got in your back pocket. So, yeah.
Yeah, handy. What was I going to say is that, mate, I think, you know, obviously, as someone who's been in a slightly similar position to you and went the England route, I would say that's still obviously the first choice and the route. But, you know, you're kind of young enough that a 2031 home World Cup in the United States, it could be something pretty awesome, especially with the resources and the development that's going to happen over this next sort of 7-8 years.
It's funny that you say that because the guys, they do joke about it with me. And I think it was actually, I was at the club the other day with Chandler Cunningham South, one of the other young boys as well. And I think he found out he might be US qualified as well. So he now keeps saying 2031, we're going to go have a party and I'll call the lineouts to him. He can take it off the top, we'll crash up the midfield. So yeah, never say never and all that. But
now I know that too. I'm getting on the blower. World rugby. We need a grant. We need some grant money. We got to get these boys in, mate.
Yeah, you might have to call Chandler as well. But no, for now I'm very much English as it goes. So
yeah, TBD, mate. TBD. Never say never.
Yeah, exactly.
That sunshine in California is pretty nice. I'm just gonna
It's pretty enticing. The West Coast is pretty enticing. It might be a bit sunnier than Hazelwood, but yeah.
So you're saying there's a chance. We'll take it. We'll leave it there, mate. But I just want to wrap this up by saying thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting. Congratulations on another top quality season at London Irish, and good luck to all you guys. As you can see, I'm repping today in the run-in to the playoffs as well. It would be an amazing achievement for you boys and the club. So thanks a lot, mate.
No, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for having me. Cheers.
And that is a wrap on this week's show. Big thank you to Chinyamongo for coming on and chatting and being so open. And we appreciate his time. As we already said, good luck to him and all the London Irish as they have a couple of weeks off before they decide their fate. Obviously, Europe around the corner here. We do not have that on NBC Sports, but big weekend of European rugby coming up with some stories that I'm sure we'll react to next week, as well as the Hong Kong Sevens, which will be on across Peacock TV across the weekend. Do not miss that. We're also hoping to have some of the USA Sevens team on the pod next week to react to their results in the men and women's, as you've got Olympic qualification still going on. Huge emphasis on the men's team to get a good result and performance. The women flying high in qualification. This will be a big test for them. Obviously, no Alona Maher, no Sam Sullivan. Two standouts on the circuit for them this year. What will they be able to produce? Obviously, showing some of their depth and opportunity. Keep an eye on them as they are continuing their qualification run and looking good, as I said. But that is a wrap on this week's show now. Thank you so much for listening or watching. We really appreciate it across NBC Sports' YouTube page. Obviously, we've had some geo-blocking issues across the last couple months, but we're not using any footage in this show, so this should be fully available to everyone, especially as a UK guest. I want to make sure it has as wide a reach as possible. And then just a reminder to keep liking, favoriting, sharing, retweeting, you know, telling your friends, commenting on all our content across social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and obviously the pods as well. We would really appreciate any subscriptions, any reviews, any support would be very much welcome. So thanks so much from everyone at NBC Sports and myself, Alex Corbusier. We'll see you next week.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.